I want to look at this subject in the Bible that is taught throughout the whole Bible, but want to take a fresh look at it again. The Bible tells us that we are eternally secured in Christ. After we've become born again, we are saved eternally, and we cannot lose that salvation. I know throughout the church age, the doctrine was going around that it's possible that you could lose your salvation, and that's not possible. The Bible does not teach that at all. We are eternally saved. God, Holy Spirit comes and He indwells us, and we're saved eternally. And we're no longer threatened by the wrath of God. So no matter how that believer dies or whatever the case might be, we cannot lose our salvation. So if during those, after May 21st, 2011, if the Lord so chooses to annihilate someone or spend eternity in hell, the true believers are safe from that. So if you're truly born again, yes, we want to come to the truth of the matter. Is the Bible teaching annihilation or eternal judgment? We should seek to come to the truth of it. But the true believers, we're eternally secured in Christ, aren't we? We're not threatened by that. We are not threatened of coming under the awful wrath of God, whichever the Bible is teaching. So we're safe and secure. The ones who should be terribly troubled about it are those who are not saved. You know, there are many people who are going to take the attitude as if, oh, well, at the end, I'm going to be annihilated anyway, so what's the big deal? I hope no one is not taking that attitude. We shouldn't. If God so chooses to torment someone for 5 months, it's going to be terrible. It's not going to be a walk in the park, is it? It's going to be a terrible thing. Remember what God tells us in, is that Hebrews, I believe? Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. So we shouldn't take comfort in the fact that, oh, well, if I'm not saved, I'm going to be annihilated. But if God so chooses to torment someone for 5 months, it's not going to be a picnic. In Hebrews 10, speaking here in verse 30, Hebrews 10, verse 30, for we know him that says, vengeance belongeth me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. So don't think that those 5 months, if it's indeed so, is going to be a pretty sight for those who are left behind on the earth during that 5 month period. It's going to be terrible. Terrible. So you see, we shouldn't take comfort in that. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at, before a person is born from above, we're all in darkness, spiritual darkness. We're held captive by Satan as well. So here God is telling us here, before we're saved, he tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. However, in this instance, I believe Paul is being a picture of Christ himself. To open their eyes and to turn them. Remember, who turns us to himself? God does. But God here is speaking as if Paul is doing it. But it's God is the one who turns us to himself. Then from darkness to light. So you see, before we're saved, we're in darkness, spiritual darkness. And the light there is Christ himself. And from the power of Satan. See, Satan has us before we're saved. We're held captive by him at his will. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That faith there is in Christ, because the Lord Jesus is faith. He is the essence of faith. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So you see, God is the one who takes us from darkness into light. And that light there is Christ himself. So you see, God, there's a tremendous amount of verses in the Bible that tells us that when we truly become a child of God, we're eternally secured in Christ. And that's forever and ever and evermore. There's nothing we could do to lose our salvation, because God is the one who keeps us. He keeps us. Let's go on a little bit further. God gives us more information on this topic. Let's look at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just look at one verse in that chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. Here God tells us, he therefore that despiseth, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So you see, when we become saved, God, Holy Spirit, indwells that person. So you see, and there's many other verses. Let's look at another verse in 1 John chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 12. 1 John chapter 4, start reading at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. See who indwells us? God dwelleth in us. You know, you wonder how some people say we could lose our salvation. That's not possible. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. God dwells in us, and we dwell in him. See? And he in us. So you see, God has given us he's going overboard to tell us that when we become saved, that he indwells us and we indwell him, because he has given us of his Spirit. You see, God is just working overtime to tell us that when we've truly become a child of God, we can't lose his salvation. We're eternally secured in him. He owns us. He indwells us, and we indwell him. And this is a great truth that the Bible teaches. And verse 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if you will look at Psalm 90, God tells us that he indwells us, and the Lord Jesus is our dwelling place. In Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. Who is the our? All God's elect. Remember, he indwells us, and we indwell him. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And when was that? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You see how all these assurances God has given to us? God is our dwelling place. He's the dwelling place of his elect. Not everyone. Let's look at Romans 8. Let's go back over to Romans 8. God clearly tells us that if we have not the Spirit of God, we're none of His. So no matter how someone could argue with the Bible or whatever the case might be, God tells us in the Bible in verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is the same thing. It's God Himself. So you see, God indwells that person. And we cannot lose the salvation. So God uses many different terms to tell us that we're eternally secured. We've been born from above. God has given us His Holy Spirit. And that is not double jeopardy. At the end, then He's going to take it back. Once He gives you His salvation, once you are elected of God, He is going to save that person. It could be a year before they die or during this time or a day before He returns or whatever the case might be. God will save that person and they will enter into His kingdom, which is eternal forevermore. And we're safe and secure from the awful wrath of God, which is coming upon the earth, which unsaved man is under. He's under the wrath of God. And he's in terrible trouble with God. So here we see that we're born from above. We're eternally secured in Christ. Let's look at other terms that God used to tell us that we're eternally saved. Look at Ephesians 1, another familiar verse. Ephesians chapter 1. Most of us are familiar with that verse. And God is telling us a lot there in Ephesians chapter 1. And He uses all these different words to tell us, to give us this assurance that we are eternally saved. In verse 4, it says, according as He hath chosen. We see we were chosen, we were elected of God. According as He has chosen us in Him. See this same phrase again, in Him. Remember, God, Holy Spirit dwells in us and we dwell in Him. And it says, before the foundation of the world. You see how this ties in with Psalm 90, verse 1, the verses I just read. That we should be holy. We're holy and without blame. We're blameless when we become a child of God. We stand blameless before God. Our sins are been paid for before Him in love. And He says, verse 5, having predestinated us. We were predestinated unto us unto adoption. We were adopted into this kingdom of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. It's God's good pleasure that He saves someone. Not because we are better than someone else or we are more righteous than someone else. It's God's good pleasure. Remember, God tells us it's not of works of righteousness that we have done. Nothing. It's for God's good pleasure. He could save anyone. Someone who's living in the gutters of sin, so to speak, or somebody who's living in a palace. God saves. And it goes, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. See, you are saved to the praise of glory of God. And it goes on, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. He bought us through His blood. He gave His life for us. See, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So you see how these terms God goes on to tell us that how secured we are in Him. We were chosen Him from before the foundation of the world. So we can't lose it. We cannot lose it no matter what happens to us in this life or whatever the true believers are going through. God is with us. There's nothing to fear. So if you hear about this 5 months and you know it was a shocker to many people, me of course, we shouldn't be out of our minds about this. You know, we're saved and secured in Christ. So whatever God chooses to do, it's God's business. And as I said earlier, yes, we want to come to the truth of the matter, but the true believers, we're saved and secured in Christ forever, forevermore. Let's look at another verse. Let's turn over to John 10. It tells us a little bit more information there in John 10. John 10, verse 27 and 28. John 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. It's God's elect. We're known of God. We're known of Him. I know them, and they follow me. See? And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. And they shall never perish. Never perish. And that's a wonderful statement to those who are child of God. We will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See how secured we are? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He's greater than God, is Almighty God. And who could pluck His people out of His hand? No one. No one can. Out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See these? How He assures us over and over and over again. And look, let's look at. So you see how he tells us these things, and there's scores of other verses to look at. So we're safe and secured in Christ. He will never lose not one of His elect. All of them, at the end of the day, will be saved. Every single one of them. Let's go on and look at another verse. Let's look. Turn over to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 2. God goes on to tell us that we are rooted in Him. And, you know, the Bible used the word root in several different ways. Christ is the root. True believers also, I believe, is the root. And He speaks about the unsaved man, too, that they're going to be rooted out of the earth. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. We'll start reading verse 6 to 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Here we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him." So you see, the true believers, we're rooted in Christ. Not in ourselves, but we're rooted in Him, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. See, Christ rules over all, and He's the one that we're rooted in. We will not be rooted out. As we're going to read some verses that speak about the unsaved, how they're going to be rooted out. We're rooted in Christ because He is the foundation. He is the tree of life, and He's the root and offspring of David. So we're the true believers. We're rooted in Him. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're in Him. We will never lose our salvation. Let's go back over to. Let's look at. Back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 to 21. Let's pick up the context here in verse 13 to 21. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Speaking to the true believers, and you know, God is love, and we're rooted and grounded in Him, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, that and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory to the in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So you see there that how we are rooted and grounded in Him. See, we cannot lose our salvation. We're completely secured in Him. Let's look at another verse. Let's turn to the Old Testament this time in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Let's read the first three verses. The first three verses of Proverbs chapter 12. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. See, which really is Christ, because He is the root. We shall not be moved. We're not going to be condemned. We're in Christ. So we're, the true believers are safe in Christ. Let's go over to Romans, another verse, in Romans chapter 15. So these verses are pointing to the believers that we're rooted in Christ and we're safe. We're safe from wrath through Him. Remember, Christ tells us we don't come into condemnation. We no longer stand condemned before God when we become born again. In Romans chapter 15, verse 12, I believe. Romans chapter 15, verse 12. Here he's speaking about Christ, that He is the root. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. You see, this root here is pointing to Christ. Christ is the root, and we are rooted in Him. So we're safe in Christ. But we look at some other verses that point to the wicked. God speaks about them too, that they're going to be rooted out of the earth. Let's look at Job. Let's look at some verses in the Old Testament. Job chapter 18. In Job chapter 18, verse 11 to 21. I believe these verses are pointing directly to the unsaved of the world, how they're going to be rooted out on that day. Terror shall make him, in verse 11, Proverbs, Job 18, terrors shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. I believe he's speaking to the unsaved. In verse 14, his confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. And who is the king of terrors? Christ? I believe God is. Remember, God says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In verse 15, it shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath and above shall his branch be cut off. See, God speaks about the unsaved are being cut off from the earth. They're going to be cut off on that day. In verse 17, his remembrance shall perish from the earth. See, God speaking those about perishing. He speaks about the unsaved. They're going to be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and be chased out of the world. See how the language that God speaks about the unsaved, what's going to happen to them in that day? And verse 19, he shall never have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be stoned at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. This terrible language here, this is pointing to the unsaved, how he's going to be rooted out of the world. He's going to be cut off. And God speaks about brimstone is going to be poured upon his habitation. This is terrible language that's pointing to those who come under the wrath of God. Let's look at another verse. Let's go over to Psalm 52, verse 5. Remember, these verses are pointing to those who are not saved, how they're going to be rooted out of the world. Remember, the true believers, we're rooted in Christ. We're rooted in him. In Psalm 52, verse 5, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. Remember how God speaks about the word pluck in John 10? No one's going to pluck the true believers out of his hand. And here he's speaking about the unsaved. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. See, they're going to be rooted out. They're going to be rooted out in that day. Let's go back over to Proverbs again. In Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to read 21 and 22. Proverbs chapter 2, 21 and 22. Still speaking about the wicked. Verse 21, Proverbs chapter 2. For the upright shall dwell in the land. And who are the upright? Those God's elect. Because God has made them upright. It's nothing that we have in ourselves. It's the righteousness of Christ that was given to us. For the upright shall dwell in the land, in the new heaven and the new earth. And the perfect shall remain in it. And who are the perfect? Well, if you're born again now, in our spirit essence, we are perfect. We're perfect, but we're still in this, our bodies that are under the curse of God. But in that day, when the Lord Jesus returned, then we're going to be perfect both in our souls and in our body. We're going to be perfect. In verse 22, but the wicked shall be cut off. They shall be cut off from the earth. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth. And the transgressors, those who have not had their sin paid for, shall be rooted out of it. So you see the ways that God, he used the word root in other ways. But here he speaks directly to the wicked. They're going to be rooted out. They're going to be cut off in that day of judgment. They're going to be rooted out of the earth. Let's look at another verse speaking about that in Matthew. In Matthew chapter, I believe it's 15. Matthew chapter 15. I think it's verse 13. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Let's pick up the context at verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Shall be rooted up. They're going to be rooted out of the earth. See, they're going to be destroyed forevermore. So you see, remember this, the parable of the sower, the seed? And this probably to tie into this particular verse also. But see, if our Heavenly Father has not made us born again, we're going to be rooted out of the earth. We're going to be rooted up. But let's look at another term, how God used to describe the true believers, that we're safe and secured in Christ forever. We cannot lose our salvation. If you look at, go back over to Psalm, chapter 9. God tells us that He is our refuge. The Lord Jesus is our refuge. Now we run to Him for safety. We flee from the wrath to come to take refuge in Christ. See, that's where we flee to. In Psalm 9, verses 1 to 10. Psalm 9, verses 1 to 10. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. When mine enemies have turned back, they shall fall and perish at Thy presence. For Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. You see, God is speaking as if He's already done it. See, it says in verse 5, Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. So you see how God is speaking as if He's already been done? See, Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their names forever and ever. See, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared His throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. And who are those? God's people. A refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Although He's speaking about here about how the wicked is going to perish forever, but yet, for the true believers, our refuge is Christ Himself. See, so you see, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. We cannot lose our salvation. I know that there's a teaching been in the church for many years that you could lose your salvation. That is impossible. Oh, yeah, you could lose something you never had. But if you're truly a child of God, you cannot lose your salvation. Because Christ, Jesus, is our refuge. He's our strength in time of trouble. Let's look at another verse. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We'll start reading in verse 1. Here God tells us that He's our refuge. Now He's our safety. We dwell in Him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So you see, no matter what happens, true believers are safe in Christ. We have nothing to fear. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. See, God is in the midst of the body of the true believers. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See the assurance that he given to us, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with his people. The God of Jacob is our refuge seal. So you see how God gives us this amazing amount of assurances in the Bible that we're eternally secured in Christ. We cannot lose our salvation. Anybody have any questions or comments? Let's read one more verse. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18. Start reading in verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge. So we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And Christ is our hope. We're fled for refuge to Christ because he's our hope. And he goes to verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which is Christ himself, and which entereth into that within the veil. So you see these verses, and this is only scratching the surface to tell us that those who are elected to God for salvation, we're safe in Christ. So we shouldn't, you know, pull our hair out, you know, or somehow we're going to lose our salvation down the line, or God is going to see some sin in me or whatever. No. God has paid for all the sins of his people. And we have nothing to fear in Christ. Okay, let's close. Father in heaven, we thank you.